VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Friends, I have enough for probably 2 to 3 hours of content here today. We're going to squeeze as much as we can into the program, and Lord willing, have an opportunity for you to also call in and comment on the many issues that are going on around us today. It's unbelievable how fast and how intense the issues are going on today, but we certainly want to not be ignorant, but to be understanding of the times in which we live. We need to be more fervent prayer warriors. And sadly, there are too many Christians and too many churches that are all geared toward entertainment instead of focusing on that which God has called us to be salt and light in such a time as this. We're going to delve right into the stories here today. First of all, happy Constitution Day. Yes, this day, September 17th, commemorates the formation and signing of the U.S. Constitution by 39 brave men on September 17th, 1787. So it was on that day the delegates to the Constitutional Convention met for the last time to sign the document that they had created, if only we would keep to the Constitution. Not only that, but September 18th, each year, pro-lifers observe the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children. Across the nation, there are memorials and gravesites to memorialize the over 62 million babies that have been sacrificed on the altar of pro-choice. September 18th marks this year's observance. Friends, it is troubling to see the issues going on with Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley. Senator Marco Rubio called on President Biden to fire this chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, Tuesday, after excerpts from a forthcoming book alleged that the general called a Chinese military counterpart and promoved to warn China if the U.S. military were to attack. I'm reading from American Military News. According to excerpts from this new book, Peril, by journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, Milley held secret phone calls with the Chinese counterpart on October 30th, 2020, and on January 8th, 2021. In one of those calls, Milley allegedly said, "If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise." Senator Rubio called on Biden to fire the general in a letter titled, "Fire General Milley Now. I write with grave concern concerning recent reporting that General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, worked to actively undermine the sitting commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces and contemplated a treasonous leak of classified information to the Chinese Communist Party in advance of a potential armed conflict with the People's Republic of China," Rubio wrote. "These actions by General Milley demonstrate a clear lack of sound judgment, and I urge you to dismiss him immediately." Also, from Western Journal, Senator Rand Paul Wednesday said that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, should be investigated and immediately relieved of his duties and court-martialed if he secretly negotiated with his Chinese counterpart. Taking a look at FoxNews.com, Milley former acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, who led the Pentagon from the period from the 2020 election through Inauguration Day, said he did not and would not ever authorize Milley to have secret calls with his Chinese counterpart, describing the allegations as a disgraceful and unprecedented act of insubordination and calling on him to resign immediately. Now, this is also interesting because a spokesman for Joint Chiefs of Staff Milley issued a statement on Wednesday, and I'm looking right now at CNSnews.com, saying that Milley's calls to Chinese officials in the final months of the Trump presidency were in keeping with Milley's duties and responsibilities to maintain strategic stability. The statement also said that all calls from the chairman to his counterparts, including those reported, are staff coordinated and communicated with the Department of Defense and the interagency. So a reporter said, let's see the transcripts. Calls reported by the Washington Post authors Woodward and Costa in their book Peril, but I'm going to take you right now to the Department of Defense press briefing. Reporters were asking John Kirby, spokesperson for the DOD, to release a transcript of the phone calls. Here's what transpired on that at that DOD press conference.
I know the Biden administration aspires to be as transparent as possible. In that spirit, would it be possible to get a transcript of General Milley's October 30th conversation with his Chinese counterpart, especially noting that the previous administration released a transcript of President Trump's conversation with President Zelensky? So I'm hoping that this administration can be just as transparent.
Jeff, I'm certainly not going to sign us up to releasing transcripts of conversations that occurred before we took office. And I can't do that. I'd refer you to the chairman's office if you want more context on that. But we're not in a position to do that. All I've seen is the same reporting that you've seen, Jen. I can't speak to the specifics of the conversation, a conversation that took place obviously before this administration took office. But I would add, if I may, again, that it is not only common, it's expected that a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff would continue to have counterpart conversations. I mean, he is basically the chief of defense for the United States. We don't call him that, but he has chief of defense counterparts around the world. And having worked for a chairman myself for quite a bit, I can tell you frequent communication with two countries like Russia and China is not atypical at all for a chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And those communications are they're routine. They're staffed. They're coordinated. And they're transparent, as transparent as they can be.
They're transparent as they can be. No, we're not going to turn over the transcript to you. President Trump was on Newsmax and on Newsmax.com. That you'll find audio of President Trump as he spoke on this issue as well.
So first of all, if it is actually true, which is hard to believe, that he would have called China and done these things and was willing to advise them of an attack or in advance of an attack, that's treason. And I would think I've had so many calls today saying that's treason, number one. Number two, it's totally ridiculous. I never thought of it. You were there. You knew what was happening in the White House. You have plenty of friends. You never heard the word China mentioned in a thing like this. You heard a lot of anger about China on trade, and we made a great trade deal. You heard a lot of anger on China with the China virus. But for him to say that I would even think about attacking China, I think he's trying to just get out of his incompetent withdrawal out of Afghanistan. The worst, the dumbest thing that anybody's seen, probably the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to our country, where they killed our soldiers. We left with embarrassment on our face. We left Americans behind, and we left $85 billion worth of the best equipment in the world that I bought because I was the one that rebuilt our military, and then Biden gave it away. For him to say that I was going to attack China is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Former President Trump speaking on Newsmax, and again, they're saying if this is true, and let's bring forth the transcripts. I mean, they require this of President Trump. Now let's see it take place here for President Biden's Joint Chiefs of Staff. Looking at other news from American military news, the Chinese People's Liberation Army Navy plan warships have traveled within 46 miles of Alaska's Aleutian Island coast last month, photographed by the U.S. Coast Guard. And spotted August 30th inside the U.S. exclusive economic zone located near the Aleutian Islands. And now we have the Chinese state-run newspaper says that the Chinese warships might soon show up near Hawaii. Near Hawaii. Folks, something is going on here. The American Military News also reporting that the U.S., working in conjunction with the United Kingdom, will begin sharing the secrets of their nuclear propulsion technology with Australia. The move, which will focus primarily on Australia's submarine technology, comes as China has sought to bolster its territorial claims in the Pacific. Wednesday, President Biden, the Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, and UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced their plans. The historic move comes as China has rapidly grown its navy in recent years and has more aggressively asserted its territorial claims in the Pacific. China often acts as though it controls portions of the South China Sea. China also has increasingly alluded to invading Taiwan. That's an island that governs itself independently, but that China claims as part of its sovereign territory. Well, this move by President Biden has angered one of our allies, that is France, to have this new strategic Indo-Pacific alliance with Australia. It seems that France had was brokering a contract with Australia for diesel-fueled submarines until the U.S. butted in on that. France is going to lose a nearly $100 billion deal now to build these submarines for France. And France called this the foreign minister there called it a stab in the back. And the EU's foreign policy chief complained that Europe had not been consulted. Western Journal reporting that former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta warning that President Biden's Afghanistan exit strategy could lead to future terror attacks against the U.S. as the Taliban now again rules the country after two decades of U.S. occupation. American Military News is also telling us North Korea launched two ballistic missiles off the nation's coast toward Japan Wednesday, including or rather leading Japan's prime minister to condemn the move as absolutely outrageous. In a statement released Wednesday, U.S. Indo-Pacific Command said in a statement that it is aware of the missile launch and are consulting closely with our allies and partners. Not only that, but folks, not the Bee.com. Sometimes you wish it were the Babylon Bee because that's the satire, but not the Bee.com is reporting that it's not good that North Korea just launched a train-mounted ballistic missile. They've got video of it on their website. You can see the train cars going down, stop, the top of the train car opens up, the missile is projected upward and blasted off right from the train car. Centers for Immigration Studies reports that President Biden botched the Afghanistan withdrawal, costing American service members their lives, stranding Americans and lawful permanent residents in Kabul, and recklessly allowing over 50,000 unvetted and visa-less Afghans into the U.S., with more on the way. Media tells you that these are refugees or heroic interpreters eligible for special immigration visas, but Center for Immigration Studies says it is largely untrue. The Biden administration owned up to the deception in fiscal year 2022, continuing resolution spending plan that it quietly listed on Tuesday, where its advocates for treating paroled Afghan aliens as refugees. The Biden administration, they say, wants to treat those who are not refugees as defined by our immigration laws as refugees. You see, that then gives them resettlement assistance, entitlement programs like Medicaid and SNAP food assistance as well. So they say these visa-less Afghans took airplane seats that could have gone to Americans and not refugees and are not SIV eligible. More information at the Center for Immigration Studies. And Rand Paul is now saying to Secretary of State Blinken, you've created hundreds of thousands of new potential terrorists. We're going to be back with more information here in just a moment. This is a News Roundup Day on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, another heavy question. Is it true that some evolutionists actually claim that there's an evolutionary justification for rape?
Yes, indeed, Chris. As disgusting and far-fetched as it may sound, evolutionists claim that rape has its basis in evolutionary survival of the fittest. In evolution, the two main goals are survival and reproduction. That organism which can reproduce the most, pass its genes on to the greatest extent, is the one that's most fit. Thus, rape has its justification. If man is an evolved animal, this must be right for us too. But Chris, animal behavior should not be the model for human behavior. Humans were created in the image of God and are obliged to abide by His law. His design was one man for one woman for life, and that back to Genesis truth is the only one that will work.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a news roundup day here today. Many stories from throughout the week, a number of topics here today. We're going to move on to another one, and that is COVID. And there's a COVID whistleblower indicating that an estimated 10 to 15% of doctors may quit their jobs rather than be forced to receive the COVID jab. This is individuals saying we are being pressured to vaccinate, and we see the large numbers of vaccine complications in our ICUs and the emergency rooms that are going unreported. Doctors are afraid to report all of these vaccine complications, even though we are clearly seeing them, said Dr. Molly James, an ICU doctor in New York City. The serious risk of complications are coming from those with natural immunity who then receive the vaccine or boosters, and frontline doctors and nurses have natural immunity after a year of fighting COVID and being exposed. These vaccine complication risks coming from an unwise mandate are serious and include increased risk of stroke, heart attack, and death. We also have from LifeSiteNews.com, the union that represents the National Basketball Association players has reportedly struck a deal to exempt players from a COVID vaccine mandate. And they report that NBA players will not be mandated to get vaccinated against COVID. The NBA continues to negotiate aspects of the protocols and procedures for the upcoming season. However, even though players do not have to, coaches, referees, and most staff members are required to receive the injections. Western Journal reporting there's one way to get around President Biden's vaccine mandate, and that is to be part of either the legislative or judicial branches of the federal government. Did you know that the Congress, members of Congress, don't fall under the president's mandate? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said the mandate does not apply to members of the House, according to Newsweek. She's saying she cannot force members to be vaccinated, which is true, a statement from Pelosi's office said. New York Times reported that the vaccine edict issued by Biden also does not apply to the federal court system either. Western Journal reporting, when it comes to COVID-19, President Biden wants to do the world what he's done to the U.S., according to Surgeon General Dr. Murthy. During an interview Sunday on CNN's State of the Union, Murthy said that Biden's actions are not the only set of aggressive actions that we have taken in the administration. There will be more actions that we continue to work on in the days ahead, and especially on the global front, where we will be taking steps and the president will be making announcements ahead of the UN General Assembly about additional measures that we've taken to help vaccinate the world, he said. Newsmax.com reporting Arizona Attorney General Mark Brunovich announced he's suing the Biden administration over its sweeping COVID-19 mandate, the vaccine mandate that is, becoming the first state in the nation to do so, calling it egregious federal overreach. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that Detroit's ABC station asked Facebook users to share their stories of unvaccinated people who've passed away from COVID-19. But instead of unvaccinated people, folks, they were flooded with stories of death and injury as a result of the shots. WXYZ TV Channel 7 wrote this. After the vaccines were available to everyone, did you lose an unvaccinated loved one to COVID-19? If you're willing to share your family story, please DM us your contact information. We may reach out for a story that we're working on. Well, an overwhelming number of people responded with stories not of death of the unvaccinated, but of death and injury soon after receiving the COVID-19 shot. I don't know anyone who died from COVID, but I do know a 37-year-old who got the vaccine and died of brain aneurysm 8 days later, wrote a Facebook user under the name Maximilian Robespierre. Immediately before, Richard's mother shared, my coworker's daughter, 12 years old, had to be rushed to the ER after she collapsed an hour after her second shot. Krista Evans shared, I know three people personally that died shortly after being fully vaxxed. All the people I know that have had the China virus had very mild flu-like symptoms. So why would anyone get poked with the poison? Becky Birch commented, an aunt died a week after the shot. The family never thought much about it until visiting with another cousin who had family die after the shot with the same strange issue. Not sure the details. Now they think it was a shot. The post has since had at least 125,000 comments. The heavy ratio of comments about death and injury from the jab tells a starkly different story about the safety and usefulness of the shot than they shared by mainstream news outlets like WXYZ-TV. Also on this very issue, coming from WND.com, virtually every Facebook string contains a firsthand report by people whose family members are grieving the loss of loved ones. Here are some other examples. We lost 10 vaccinated friends and family members in the past 2 weeks. Five of those were police officers and firefighters. Another wrote, lost a dear friend and neighbor after the second dose. Both brain bleeds. Both were in their mid-50s. Another said, lost my mom 10 days after she got her second Pfizer jab. She couldn't swallow or talk correctly the very next day, was hospitalized, and basically never woke up again. Went from healthy and fine to gone in 10 days. Another reported this, my parents' neighbor woke up the next morning after the shot suddenly completely deaf. His doctor told him it's from the vaccine, and if his hearing did not return within a few weeks, he will be permanently deaf. He is now permanently deaf. And the stories go on, ladies and gentlemen. Stories go on. Here is another. A friend of mine got the shot, lost her leg to a mysterious flesh-eating bacteria, but had no open sores. It started on the inside after only the first shot. She had to have blood transfusions and suddenly had cancer that wasn't there before the shot. She died only a couple days after they found the cancer. Now, friends, here is something that is shocking. Shocking. And this is from Dr. Joseph Mercola, who's blowing the whistle on so many issues. But according to Dr. Mercola, the CDC is now listing vaccinated deaths as attributed to the unvaccinated. He said, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, you're not counted as fully vaccinated until a full 14 days have passed since your second injection, in the case of Pfizer or Moderna, or 14 days after the Janssen, despite the fact that over 80% of deaths after the vaccine occur in that window. So all of these deaths that are happening after the first or second shot, they're being counted of the unvaccinated, because you have to wait 14 days until after the jab before you're considered fully vaccinated. Anyone who dies within the first 14 days post-injection is counted as an unvaccinated death, he says. Not only does this inaccurately inflate the unvaccinated death toll, but it also hides the real dangers of the COVID shots, as a vast majority of deaths from these shots occur within the first 2 weeks, he said. The CDC also hides vaccine failures and props up the pandemic of the unvaccinated narrative by only counting breakthrough cases that result in hospitalization or death. Hospitals are still also reporting non-COVID-related illnesses as COVID-19, he says. It's a remarkable report. Pamela Geller has it on her site at thegellerreport.com. But here the medical doctor is saying that the CDC, if you die after that first or second jab, they're not counting that as a vaccinated death, but as an unvaccinated death, because you've got to wait for the full 14 days to pass before you're considered vaccinated. Now, you no doubt have seen the nightly news where they are featuring stories of individuals who are in the hospital. If only I had taken the shot. If only I had taken it. Well, folks, I want you to hear something different today than what you hear from the mainstream media. Because this is a video clip put out by an NCAA athlete who was hit with severe heart complications after the COVID vaccine. And he is warning about the mandates. August 31st, 2021, John Stokes was preparing for his senior season playing Division I NCAA golf at Tennessee State University. By September 6th, the 21-year-old was hospitalized with heart complications. What changed during that span of those 4 days? According to Stokes, he received the second dose of the COVID-19 jab. Well, now the mainstream media continues to carry stories of those who have been unvaccinated. Here's a story of one of many who has relayed their story that the media is not picking up. John Stokes, NCAA golf player.
I am in the hospital right now with heart complications from the COVID-19 vaccine. And I want to inform as many people as I can about the risks from taking the vaccine that I wish someone would have told me So I am a Division I student athlete with no prior health issues, and I got the second COVID shot Tuesday, and within 4 days, I have been diagnosed with myocarditis and was told that I probably won't be able to play my senior season now. It is a side effect from the COVID vaccine, and it's really not being reported or addressed, and it is a serious issue that we should all be informed about before making this decision. It isn't right for people to be forced to take the vaccine because there are actual side effects like this that could happen to you. And the NCAA should not mandate student athletes to get the vaccine because of what could happen to so many fellow student athletes, health issues, which has happened to me. Everyone should be informed of the side effects, and no one should be forced to take something that could cause what has happened to me, and no one knows the long-term effects of what's possibly going to happen from this. And it's kind of uncharted territories because everyone else with the same heart issues from the vaccine as me, we're all being tracked and monitored. We're basically like test subjects from the vaccine, so it's a very serious issue that really needs to be spread. And I've spoken with some other student athletes that have also had to have either heart surgery or have had heart issues from this, and it's very scary stuff, and a lot of people in our age group apparently are at higher risk for heart issues from the vaccine, and it really does need to be talked about.
NCAA student-athlete John Stokes sharing. And looked like he was laying in his hospital bed at that time. Daily Signal reporting the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is doing exploratory work to decide whether to study if COVID-19 vaccines cause menstrual irregularities, the CDC told the Daily News Caller Foundation. Or the Daily Caller News Foundation. In late July, CDC spokeswoman Martha Sharon had said that several studies on the vaccine's effects on fertility were, quote, in the works, but hedged that some are still in the planning stages. Over a month later, the CDC is still exploring the feasibility of a study. However, the agency in early August is urging pregnant and breastfeeding women to get vaccinated, citing a preliminary study that found no evidence of vaccines causing higher rates of miscarriage. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking right now at OpenVares, the OpenVares website. And through, let's see, they've updated this only through September 3rd, there have been a total of miscarriages of 1,757 that's been reported through the VAERS website through the third day of September of this year. And now they're talking about, well, we're still discussing doing a study on how this is impacting women. Wake up, folks. Keep in mind, we've heard the clips or the statements from Dr. Michael Yadin. He is the former vice president of Pfizer, warning expectant mothers not to take the shot. We heard from Dr. Zelenko earlier this week how this shot goes right to a woman's reproductive organs, folks. And now the CDC is considering doing a study on how it's impacting women. Townhall.com, New York governor is now announcing a new mask mandate Wednesday for children and daycare and other facilities regulated by the state for two-year-old children. National Guard has been deployed to Massachusetts to take children to school. Several cities, bus driver shortage. Guess what? Some of them retired during the COVID issue. Others have resigned, saying they're not going to take the shot. Well, now they've employed the National Guard to take children to school. A few more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk.
King Lemuel wrote, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." The passage from Proverbs 31, words written by this king as taught to him by his mother. King Lemuel's mother understood many of the struggles and temptations that men face. She also knew that there were virtuous women and those that lacked these important qualities. In the book, The Words of King Lemuel, author James Daughtry unlocks the secrets of this ancient proverb. He transports you back to the times and setting of the passage to uncover the important truths concerning the virtuous woman. The words of King Lemuel, great for personal or group Bible study. One copy of the book is available for a donation of $11, 5 copies for a donation of $40, or 10 copies for $69 when you call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, I really need another 90 minutes, but the clock is continuing to tick on. Yeah, the National Guard deployed to Massachusetts to take children to school. Is this the role of the National Guard? Dallas School District offering $50 to students 12 and up for taking the jab, according to LifeSiteNews.com. $50. Wow. Then we also have Liberty Counsel. Judge Hurd in the Northern District Court of New York has granted a temporary restraining order for all health care workers against the state's unconstitutional attempt to ignore federal law and remove religious exemptions and accommodations from unlawful COVID shot mandates for health care workers. By the way, there's been talk since Texas has enacted this heartbeat law that liberals are livid. I mean, they're talking about bringing up on the House floor soon a vote to codify the Roe v. Wade. And they've been talking about other legislation now to stack the court to overturn this because the U.S. Supreme Court 5-4 would not rescind what happened in Texas. Matter of fact, they've contacted another federal judge to put an emergency restraining order on it. Well, he's refused to do that. He's granted a hearing coming up in early October. But they're pulling out all the stops to try and kill unborn babies in the womb. And even if it means stacking the court. Well, Justice Breyer, Stephen Breyer, this past Sunday, spoke out. He was on the Fox News Sunday, and he warned that the Democrats' efforts to expand the Supreme Court to allow President Biden to appoint several justices could lead to the court losing public trust. He said, well, if one party could do it, I guess another party could do it. On the surface, it seems to me you start changing all these things around and people will lose trust in the court. Clarence Thomas also has spoken out. He has warned against politicizing the Supreme Court, saying that doing so could make the judicial system the most dangerous branch of the government, and cautioning others to manipulate the institutions when we don't get the outcome that we like. Folks, the immigration issue, the borders are wide open. And have you seen the footage under that Texas bridge? I mean, the media was all over it when hundreds were under there and their conditions when President Trump was in the White House. But those hundreds have swelled to multiple thousands now, and thousands have converged under this bridge that connects Del Rio, Texas, and Mexico's and Mexico there. And in the latest border emergency facing the U.S. under President Biden, matter of fact, drone footage shows that it's completely out of control. So what do we do? Well, there's an order from the FAA now to stop the drones. Yeah, they've sent drones to watch this, just as they did under President Trump. But instead of dealing with this issue and closing up the border and gain control, instead they issue an order to stop allowing drones to go and gather that footage. LifeSiteNews.com. Power Rangers goes LGBT with the show's first lesbian superhero. A long-running entertainment kids program, Power Rangers. It debuted back in 1993. It's in its 28th season. But in an upcoming episode, you've got female companions now walking hand in hand together. And prefaced, if I thought she had feelings for someone, to which another says you weren't wrong, and gestures to the new couple, but a first lesbian superhero. New Zealand has put forth a bill to ban LGBTQ conversion practices. They received over 100,000 submissions to ban so-called conversion therapy. Folks, the world is out of control, and that shows you that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'd like to open our phone lines today. 800-733-9829 is our number, 1-800-733-9829. Have you heard the latest about Jeff Bezos? He's starting a financing a new startup that seeks to achieve eternal life. According to a report, the Amazon co-founder teamed up with a tycoon, Yuri Milner, to support a biological reprogramming company. Not only does he want to travel to space, he now seems interested in preventing the aging of humanity. At least that's what a report this past weekend from MIT Technology Review seems to point to. They're talking about how the two are teaming up, a startup seeking to reverse aging and to achieve eternal life. Friends, I can save you a whole lot of money. Just open God's Word, the Bible, and you'll find how you can obtain eternal life. It's found through the forgiveness that's offered through Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. To receive that free gift of salvation, recognizing one as a sinner, that sin separates us from a holy, righteous God, that God in His love sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to this earth, who laid down His life for us, shed His blood on the cross. He died, He was buried, He rose again on the third day, and provides a gift of eternal life to those who will place their trust in Him. And here we have Jeff Bezos, who is seeking to find the way to eternal life, to reverse the aging process. President Biden nominated the first LGBT woman now to the federal circuit court, nominating a Vermont judge who played a critical role in paving the way for the legalization of same-sex marriage to become the first openly LGBT woman to serve on any federal circuit court. The issues are many here today, friends, and we're taking your calls at Crosstalk 800-733-9829. Jeff in Bruce, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up Revelation 6:2. I believe this coronavirus is laid out pretty clear in the Bible. It says it's the first seal in Revelation 6:2. He opened it and looked, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bowl, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, bowl is the Greek word is toxon. It's only used one time in the Bible, and that's the word we get our word toxin and poison from. And if you do in-depth search, you'll find out that it means a bowl, arrow, a poison in which arrows are dipped.
Okay.
Is the Greek translation for that. And crown, of course, is the meaning of corona. And
well, Jeff, yeah, we're not going to go further there because I believe you're taking this out of context. We are not in the tribulation period right now. That's very evident. But certainly we do know that in the book of Matthew, he talks about the times there are going to be pestilences in the last days, and that we very much are seeing that, and there's much more to come, much more to come in that regard. Thank you for your comments, so we do appreciate it. Nicholas is calling from Wichita, Kansas. Nicholas, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Jim. Yes, I wanted to call and talk about what happened this past Monday. I emailed you, so you already know what I'm bringing to the public's attention.
Yes, tell us what happened.
I visited Riverside University High School in near downtown Milwaukee. And to put it briefly, as I was preaching, a crowd had already gathered, and a couple of the students were, like, right in front of me. And the first one, he punched me to where I actually landed in the street. And then they jumped on me, both of them, and started pounding on me. And the other student, he actually kicked my head into the cement, which caused a concussion and memory loss. And one of the security people there actually got them to back off of me. Otherwise, they probably would have kept pounding on me. And so this just took place this past Monday. And afterwards, I was able to get back up and preach to them. Now, one of the faculty, his name is Jeff, he had a megaphone he was holding. After I got back up and began preaching again to the students, he turned the siren on his megaphone to drown out the preaching. And before he did that, he said, "Go away," because I think he was expecting I was just going to leave. And so he did that to try and drown out the preaching. And and I have been in contact with the police and trying to get charges filed against the students. And that's a nutshell of what took place on Monday afternoon around 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and I saw the video footage that you sent here, Nicholas, and to see you holding that sign, to have that ripped from you and you thrown down to the ground, and then to see the perpetrator start stomping on you and stomping on your head because you're trying to protect and preserve life?
Yes, sir. Jeff, I don't think I already mentioned this, Jeff, the faculty member that had the megaphone, in the footage, he's standing right with them, like right behind them. You can see him in the footage. He's got his arms folded behind his back. He shows no sign of surprise or concern as they're hitting me.
And many are watching the assault take place on you. What has been the response from the police at this point, Nicholas?
Well, I just did an interview across the street from the high school, and I saw the police over there, and it was Officer Yang. He was the one that took the report on Tuesday. We went to the police station. He came over, and he told me that he didn't give me details. He just said that the student who initially punched me, that he has been suspended from the school, and that he, Officer Yang, was heading over to his house to arrest him.
Hmm.
So. And with the other student, I didn't know the other student was involved. Like, I didn't have video of proof of that. But then I saw the other video, so I told him that I sent the other video footage that showed the other student clearly attacking me, stomping my head to the ground. So I asked him, are you investigating this too? Because I gave him still shots of both attackers. And so I'm awaiting to hear back from the police and the school to see if they're going to suspend the second student, the second attacker, and if charges will be filed against them as well.
Yeah. I guess violence inside the womb begets violence outside the womb, does it not?
It does. And clearly that was seen on Monday. And the school, the faculty basically indicated, they made it clear that they believe violence is the answer when you don't like certain speech.
Wow. Nicholas, again, identify the school that this took place?
It's Riverside University High School near downtown Milwaukee.
Okay. Well, Nicholas, thank you for calling and sharing your story, and please continue to keep us abreast of what transpires there.
Okay, yes, sir.
Thank you for the call. Holding a pro-life sign and to have it ripped from you, thrown you down to the ground, and then start beating you as you're down on the ground, including the foot coming down, the stills show it as in a stomping type fashion. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, in regard to COVID-19, the Delta variant, boosters and whatnot, this all has involved liars, deniers, compliers, and too few defiers. That empowers Fauci to advance further propaganda. Interestingly, in the drug culture, Fauci would be labeled as a pusher, and in this respect, it's in order to create a vaccine dependency. That's my comment.
Mm. Wow, very interesting. Mark, thank you so much for the call. We're just 20 seconds from our break, so let me not start another caller because I'm going to have to interrupt you right away. But you're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. And, of course, other news this week, of course, from the state of California, reporting that Governor Newsom survived the recall. There's a number of testimonies coming forth from Republicans who went to go vote. And they're saying that when they went to the polls to vote, that they were told, no, you can't vote. You've already voted. Interesting information indeed. And guess what? There was a vote switch as well that they showed on television. Many, many, many thousands of votes that were for one candidate, for the recall, suddenly turned against it. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. My friends, there is a global convergence happening. And you know what? It reveals the supernatural nature of God's word and where we are on God's prophetic calendar. Look at all the things the Bible says are going to occur. And guess what? They're occurring right now. Number one, a one-world economy. They're working on that. the laying the foundation for the mark of the beast. 2, 3, the Middle East conflict with Israel and the Gog-Magog scenario being set up with Syria having right in their borders Iran, Russia, China, and Turkey. 4, they're talking about dividing the world into 10 unions. 5, the rise of hatred of Christians and Jews, anti-Semitism. 6, a one-world religious system that's being set up, the desire for a one-world government. 7, 8, UFOs. You know, the Bible speaks about mysterious things happening in the skies, and it can be used as a cover for the removal of Christians. 9, globalism. 10, financial collapse. 11, rebuilding the temple. And 12, apostasy. The stage is set for the last days.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. And folks, the 33rd edition of the New York LGBTQ Plus Film Festival called NewFest, kicking off with the East Coast premiere of Mayor Pete, the Amazon Studios documentary about Pete Buttigieg, his run for the president in 2020. Yes, Mayor Pete kicking off the 2021 LGBTQ Plus Film Festival in New York. Let's go to Courtney in Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. And I just want to read something right fast. All you fathers and mothers and parents of children, I had it. Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, notice that, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Look at the filth the sodomites are teaching our kids in school, how to read sodomite books for the devil to take their souls to hell. That's what that's for. That's why God says, and you know my verse, it's Proverbs, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's your duties, parents. Our whole purpose on earth is to thank Jesus for saving us, to raise our children in a godly manner with that Bible before them every day, not some days. And the thing is, and also that we're to pray for them, because the devil hates God. He wants to destroy souls to take them to hell with him. So I'm just going to say, pray for one another and look at what they're doing in the world. And we're not in Revelation right now, but we are being judged as a nation, and we don't want to fall in the hands of God. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. Greg in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I heard the article about the North Korean missile launch from a train.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the K Club storage containers?
Yes. Yeah. Troubling.
I'm thinking it could be a little bit of a correlation there.
This of course took place in North Korea, but it's very, very similar as far as what is alleged that these K cars can do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Let's go to Eau Claire next. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Silas, you're on the air.
Hi, I was addressing the transgender election. It reminded me, the other day I was watching a show with my daughter, and it had this little child dressing up as a woman and going up to his friend saying, I just want to be a woman. And it just was a terrible reminder how far the world has gone and how scary it is for our children. And then it's spreading even more. I mean, I don't watch MMA fighting, and I'm not a fan, but I saw the other day also that there's a transgender woman who just had her first fight, and she just, I mean, it's a man beating up a woman, and we just were so blind to that.
Yeah.
It's crazy how dark the world is right now, and the Lord is going to come judge us soon. We deserve it, and we need to wake up. We need to give the gospel. We need to be right with the Lord. I would just encourage everybody to do that. Be that.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Silas. Appreciate your thoughts there. Indeed. We've got to be understanding of where we are at, folks. And tomorrow night here in our area, we have Ken Ham coming in from Answers in Genesis at a VCY rally at the Waukesha Expo, facing the secular giants of our day. And certainly those issues are before us here, and it's going to warn regarding the many issues of our time and the importance of hanging on to the inerrancy of God's Word, the God's authority through His Word. So trust those who are within driving distance to join us tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central at the Waukesha Expo. Our number, 800-733-9829. Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
How you doing, Jim? I got two things for you. The story you spoke of the other day in What in the World,
yeah,
about Greater Piney Grove in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think it's important for you to know, and everyone listening, that they ran a news broadcast here about that, and it started with this. With the preacher there, Reverend William Flippin, saying this: some foolishly claim they are covered in their blood. That's what he said, as far as it pertains to having to go to his church, and it's his church, it's not God's church, go to his church, and you have to be vaccinated. Some foolishly claim they are covered in the blood. Shocking.
Wow.
And the other thing is this: the coronavirus is not a good thing, but there is a silver lining with it. Here in Atlanta, it did what we as Christians couldn't do. It stopped the gay parade for 2 years. Last year and this year, they did not have their parade. Mm-hmm. So it's a victory, and we'll take it, because we don't want them marching and sharing all they have. But like I said, some foolishly claim we are covered in the blood.
Thank you, Leroy. Let's go to Sharon, Columbus, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I want to make this anonymous, but I have a family member who their job is making them wear a sensor around their neck. Well, it communicates with Bluetooth, and they made them take it home. It's on a lanyard, and it's a contact tracing device. It's kind of scary that like jobs are making people do that, and she has the vaccine, so I don't know why they're making her wear a tracker like that.
Your thoughts? So much for privacy, Cher.
She refused to wear it, but her employer told her to take it home so she can continue to wear it, so they know if she comes into contact with anybody.
Wow,
it's just scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. One final call. Jerry in Monticello, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Jim, for everything you do. And I just wanted to encourage everyone that's listening. I hope and pray that everyone that's listening to this radio is saved and ready to go. And,
amen.
I just wanted to share the verse, Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jerry. We're out of time on the broadcast. Appreciate your call, friends. Let's keep praying, folks. Trust will be in a Bible-believing local church this weekend. God bless you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.